Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. We are here in Louisville. I'm still practicing how to say it correctly. At the table, again, in Dr. Al Mohler's studio. And I'm here at the table with Martha. Martha and I came together. Hey.
Yeah, we made it, actually. Oh, it's surprising.
We had a delayed flight. We did not get in until 1:30 in the morning. But that is what you do when you are just all about the gospel. That's what I got to say. When it is all about the Lord, you just take these hits as they come. So I'm excited to be here in front of four pair of Dr. Mohler's glasses. They're sitting right here in front of me on the table. I don't know how he rotates between them, if he has them for certain types of interviews or certain days or whatever, but we might have to tweet about that and get him to respond. So we'll see what happens. But also at the table, we have the wonderful and illustrious Steve and Candace Waters. Hello to both of you.
Hello, Lisa. Yeah.
Good to see you in person. I don't have to say, and on the phone. And then I hear kids in the background.
Door slamming.
Their kids are being babysat. But, oh, so here they are. But you guys kind of got dressed up. I'm a little intimidated.
Well, it's because we're in the president's office.
Okay.
Oh. This is Southern Baptist Seminary, and it's a little more buttoned up than Focus.
I did not get that memo because I'm wearing a skull scarf and jeans. So
you and me.
Martha has a classier scarf on than I do, though, so she's looking pretty decent. But yeah, we figured we would be. I was like, oh, no, this is college. It's totally cash. So, well, apparently not in Louisville, Martha. We'll have to remember that for next time, but that's okay.
I haven't seen
Dr. Mohler, or as I call him, Al. That went over well last time. I have not yet seen him walking the halls, so maybe we can fly under the radar this time around. We'll see what happens with that. But, well, we want to just catch up with you guys and find out what in the world is happening as you guys have headed east here, and Steve is in some ridiculous high-powered position here at the seminary. Tell us what's going on with that. What are you in charge of actually here, Steve?
Well, I ended up in the communications department. I came to be a student. I was going to work in the communications area just doing some editing. And then they had the guy who was the VP of communications accepted a role as a dean. And so they slid me up into his role, and I found out that I wasn't going to be able to focus on classes as much as I wanted to.
Right. But, well, and I understand that your team here is one of the more progressive ones. You were telling me that
this
earlier.
This is the hairiest, inkiest portion of Southern Seminary. There's a lot of facial hair. There's a couple of tats floating around.
Greg's nodding heads. Back in the studio. Look at him. He's got some pretty sly glasses.
But because we are convinced that the extra facial hair and the tattoos are directly related to talent, we say the more the better.
That's true.
You bring them on.
Okay, I'm not seeing that apply to you though. You're the outlier.
That's right.
Facial hair.
I'm not creative. I just lead the creatives.
Oh,
so. But okay. Lisa, this is fun to have the worlds collide again and to see the Boundless Show imported right into the studio here.
I know.
To have you at the Southern Seminary.
Well, we're excited. You guys were the ones that really extended the invite to us and got the ball rolling. We have a booth here that we just about lost our lives putting together this afternoon.
Standing on chairs.
And then I had Steve come and look at it, and he's like, I think that box is out of place. That one should be down here. And I'm like, yeah, we're leaving it. Forget it. So
now you're going to have to put some pictures online so people can see what the booth looks like.
I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Martha had to look and line some things up.
Was this your first time putting it together?
I had put together the old one. This one is similar, but it had different pictures, so I wasn't as familiar with the layout of it. Yeah, but it's like a paint by numbers. You have to stack these boxes together. So,
did we have a booth when we came 2 years ago? Did we have
boxes? Just had that that stand up.
Oh, that's right. We did was a little pop up.
Oh, okay.
So we got it done in 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, we brought two of those and they toppled over, and so we had to prop them up against something. So
stack of cards.
Our booth situation here is extremely sketchy, but we have fun giveaways, so we don't care about the rest of it, I guess. So that's good enough, I guess, on that front. So Candace, you have to weigh in here and tell us what you've been up to and how the transition has been for you coming out here.
It has been amazing. I love it here. I love what Steve's learning in the classroom. I love being able to be his secret weapon on editing all the publications that go out from here. He brings home newspaper copy at night, and I read it for fun with a red pen in my hand because that's what I do.
Only two editors could really appreciate that.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Every little misspelled word is like a Scooby snack. You want more and more. No, I'm loving the season of life with our kids, 12, 10, 5, and 3, and the older two especially starting to really understand the things of Scripture and the things of God, and asking good questions and realizing that this is a make or break time in terms of discipling them, and feeling so thankful that God brought us here to be in this place to learn more about what we need to be doing as parents, and really just embracing that season that has become really the core and focus of my life, is just pouring into the kids and supporting Steve in this very demanding but exciting role that he's filling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lisa, when we left Colorado, and I mean, there was this sense of it's time to be retooled, that we had gotten degrees in public policy. But I mean, you know, the kind of questions that come into Boundless and the things that surface, and you start thinking, I don't know if a policy degree is preparing me for those tough questions. And so as we got further along and just kept thinking about the preparation we had been given, we thought, you know, having that systematic theology, having a growing heart for the role of the local church in serving people, and just having the Holy Spirit work on our hearts to develop a deeper unconditional love for those that God would bring us to serve, but also just that discovery that we even needed that time to focus in on the kids the way we've been able to here. And so just love how God's using all those things to give us fresh perspective, and just to have that luxury of having a season to learn again. It's just something you find harder to get as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is quite an opportunity for sure.
One of the biggest changes too is finally being able to really invest in a local church and live out something that we've talked a lot about on Boundless for a long time. But in Colorado Springs, it's kind of the mega church city, and it's easy to be at a big church, and there are a lot of benefits to a big church. But since we've been here, we've joined a much smaller church, and that has pushed us in a lot of ways. It's a lot harder to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to just slip in and out on Sunday and not ever really volunteer to do anything. And we've been getting involved and seeing the fruit of that, and really seeing the blessings that come from obeying God's design for that. And so that's been an unexpected joy as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, it's about time you guys got on board with that, because we talk about that a lot at Boundless, and we were waiting for you to come around.
We so. Actually joined the church.
That's good. This is, look at that. Oh, we're going to have to write to Mark Dever.
I know.
He'll send you a sticker or something for that, for sure.
That's right. I want a smiley face.
That'll be very good. So now because we've been able to kind of keep you guys in the Boundless family, which has been great. And of course, Candace still does Q&As for us. And like I said, you know, we talk by phone and all. But how have you managed to take on, I mean, you guys were thought of in the Boundless community for sure, and even in Colorado Springs as such mentors, you know, to mm-hmm. young singles mm-hmm. and then newly married couples or engaged couples. How have you been able to continue that role here?
Well, you saw where we live mm-hmm. on the corner of the campus, and that has been really just such a godsend and for many reasons, but one of the best things about it is that we're within walking distance of the seminary and the undergrad school here, Boyce College. And so the Lord has brought a lot of young women to our home for just time with me to have lunch or coffee early in the morning, and then through the church that we're involved in, getting to meet some couples and being close geographically, being within walking distance for students who may or may not have their own car, you know, that's made it a lot more doable. And I think being in a student community, there are so many more opportunities to do that than we had when we were at Focus.
Yeah. We actually got visited by a fan, Sue. Mm-hmm. From Malaysia, and is now
yes,
a student here. And
yes.
She was like, when I came, the only person I knew was Candace, and I had to just find where she was. And now we go to the church, you know, church together and stuff. So it was just so cute. She saw you as a connect because of Boundless. So.
Well, it's a reminder. I mean, it's very humbling to meet someone here that says, I came here in part because I heard you talk about where you are. And mm-hmm. it's a reminder of what a huge responsibility mm-hmm. is, and it's just a heavy burden. And I have really grown more aware of that there are real people with real stories asking these hard questions and really wanting to rightly divide the word of truth and bring, you know, biblical wisdom to these difficult questions.
Mm-hmm. She said she's actually here because of hearing about Southern yeah. on the Boundless show and us wow. interviewing Dr. Moeller and hearing that you guys came here and stuff. She's like, I didn't know anything about this school, but I started looking into it. And
that's amazing. I'd say it's been humbling too. We've had some couples come up and say, hey, we read your Start Your Family book, and this is a Start Your Family baby. I mean, just to think there are people in the world because of this message. That was kind of humbling.
Oh, you need little t-shirts or little onesies. Start your family, baby.
Do you guys feel like the one-on-one kind of time or the writing is a better fit for you? Which do you?
Well, we've actually had this sensor. In fact, the reason that I know Candace was taking the sabbatical that she took was that the one-on-one was such a rich opportunity, and this during this retooling time to pause from the writing, and that in the classroom and the chapel and the church experience, all that is bringing new life to the writing. Mm-hmm. And so I think the writing will grow again, but right now it's felt right to back off a little bit.
They're different. You know, the one-on-one is much more emotionally draining and intense, because you're going deep with an individual, and you can do that in a way that you can't when you're talking in a column, because then you realize, okay, I'm writing to multiple people, and so I have to keep it sort of broad and give it kind of a high-level view. But I still love engaging with the hard questions in writing in a way that you can't when it's one-on-one, because mm-hmm. you have to be so much more sensitive to the specifics of one person's question, whereas I think with the column, I can hit things and talk with broader principles and with maybe a little more boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really love both.
Yeah, they balance.
But they're very
each other.
Different.
Cool.
Yeah. In the season you guys are in right now, and the young adults that you're coming into contact with, is there anything new that you're hearing or fresh insight or anything that, you know, I know when you're talking to people who are so, as I like to say, boundless-sized, or mm-hmm. specifically in Colorado Springs, you know, just mega church capital, ministry capital, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you hear certain things, but is there anything that you're just like, wow, this is a new angle on the young adults' issues or dilemmas?
Yeah, I think what's coming very clear to me is just the sense of, for the longest time, I saw the gospel as something that you do that brings you into Christian faith. I mean, you receive the gospel, you become saved, and now you focus on trying to please God by doing the right things, and you know, and actually we spend a lot of our energy helping people to do those right things and to honor and please God in their path to marriage and family and all that. And just increasingly getting this sense of how the gospel is throughout it all. And without the gospel, how often we end up just relying on our own strength and trying to just be good people and follow morals or whatever without fully grasping that the gospel is what empowers us and gives us the vision and the means to do what God's created us to do. And so we just continue to have new and fresh appreciation for Christ at the center of everything. And that's just – it's shaping us in – a lot of ways we weren't even expecting.
I think the other thing that stands out about where we are here at Southern Seminary is a love and respect and just awe for God's word and fear of the Lord and an awareness of God's otherness and holiness. And I have just been so convicted again that being in the word daily and not just reading it, but really studying it. What does it really say? Especially those passages that are troubling and that cause me to go, wait a minute, that can't be true because that feels wrong and that's too challenging or that's too hard or surely God didn't mean that. You know, the submission passage in Ephesians or others that we kind of stumble across and go, okay, I'll deal with that one later because that's just too hard. To not shy away from those passages, but to actually go deeper on those and to say, okay, if I really believe God is who he says he is, and if I really trust him, then I have to trust that everything in this book is true, and it really should radically change your life. And so just feeling like the last year has been going to a whole different level of studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to take some classes as well?
Yes, I audited a class because I didn't. I knew I wouldn't be able to write all the papers. That True. Season is long gone. But sat in on Dr. Russell Moore's ethics class, and oh my goodness, it was incredible. Every three-hour class, Steve?
Yeah.
About was just like, you know, trying to take a drink from a fire hose. It was so much good information, and he so understands how to apply scripture to the hardest questions. And so every week it was just another exercise in saying, okay, how do you apply the scriptures to now this scenario? You know, the one that sticks out in my mind is the woman at church named Joan who is a new believer and talks to the pastor and says, actually, I used to be John. And how do I live now that I'm a believer? You know, sex change operation. Now what do I do?
Wow.
How do you bring the truth of the gospel to that situation and not just have syrupy, easy answers that I think we can all tend to go there and just try to find a verse and say, well, here's a verse, memorize this verse. But to say, no, what is the full counsel of scripture saying? How do you really deal in this world that is increasingly wicked? How do you bring the gospel to bear on these hard questions? And so that was quite an experience last semester to take that class.
Wow.
Well, and it's classes like that, too, that have been challenging us to realize how often we had been trying to help people bring Christian faith to allow them to land in a good marriage or to meet other needs that they have. But recognize how even that there's a potential problem because it continues so often to keep the focus on ourselves that you bring faith to help you accomplish a goal, and that I had been spending a lot of my life that way. How can faith help me in my work and help me as a dad? And there's you know, plenty of reasons why we would think and be structured that way. But if you remember that our chief end is to glorify God and that it's all about His glory, it begins to turn things upside down. And you realize we have really absorbed so much of our me-centered culture that we tend to see God as an appendage, as someone who we can go to as the cosmic butler or something to have our needs met. And we've really been challenged here to rethink God's glory and the significance of His glory first and foremost, that He does things for our good. He does have pleasure in giving His children good things, but it's that we seek after God first and love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and have a reorientation beyond just ourselves as at the center.
Mm-hmm. So that obviously being the chief end, and then the second is to marry or die. We know that's the other message you all are so passionate about.
You flew all this way to just bring that up, didn't you?
I just love because I get, you know, criticized for all my sayings and stuff, yeah. So I have to pin a couple of them on you specifically, Candace, on that one. But do you see when you're talking to young adults out here, is there like where on the barometer is the level of either relational malaise or ignorance? Or, I mean, are you having to completely re-script and re-educate this area on the message of biblical intentionality in relationships? Or is there...
Actually, what we found when we got here, because Dr. Moeller, Dr. Moore, a lot of the professors have really spent a lot of time laying out, I think, a lot of theology, strong theology for people to have a vision for marriage. Actually, what we see here is people who are almost like a bull in a china shop trying to apply all that and just blowing women over.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's different from guys who are sitting on the sidelines and not stepping up, taking initiative, trying to lead biblically. It's people who are leading biblically, but with jet engines strapped on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, we'll have women come over and say, I don't know what to do with all this. These guys are too intentional sometimes.
It was like, we can't win.
Poor guys. That's true.
I know. They just can't win. Of course, we're going to have like about 200 women now enroll at Southern as a result of that, off of this show alone. So.
But I will say, I mean, there are a lot of things that are healthy about the intentionality. I think it's just I mean, in in a lot of circumstances, they're just missing details. There's a sense of, I think, right. and that's just the nature of the mystery of love and relationships. And I'm actually starting to realize that I think God leaves a lot of that mystery there so that we do have to lean on Him ultimately and not on our own strength and understanding, and that it is a faith exercise. There's a lot of sanctification that comes with working through the mystery. As we try to be faithful.
Mm-hmm. I think that the women do still, some of them, or a lot of them that I've talked to, have still absorbed a lot of the world's way of thinking, though, about career and timing, especially. You know, is it okay to think about marriage in your 20s? I think there's still a lot of a startle response when I say that. But there's maybe a quicker openness to it. You know, it's a shorter time to go from hi to yes, it's nice to meet you, and would you help me figure all this out practically on the ground. But it's a reminder too that the need for mentoring and friendship in the process of getting to marriage is not any less when someone is already convinced that they need to be intentional about it.
Yeah, it's good.
I was going to ask Steve, what's an example of missing a detail for the guys?
Well, I think it's that sense of that they know ultimately where they hope to go, but a lot of questions about what's between hi and I do.
Okay.
And that sense of bringing that level of intentionality so that a girl's not sure if by accepting a date, she's accepting a proposal. Mm-hmm. And so trying to create a sense of a season of observing, a season of letting love grow and knowing that it's okay to not, I mean, immediately have the wedding plans in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Steve and Candace have walked me through a couple of relationships. Bless the Lord. Anyway, and we know that there have been a couple that completely like scripted the entire relationship without necessarily letting me in on any of the details. And that
by the way,
yeah, because like guys will kind of just like chart it out, and then it's like, where am I in this process? You know, so. And I was resonating with that.
Do you ever feel like maybe they think that because they're intentional, they can bypass the like factor? You know, like you have to like him.
Yeah.
It can't just be.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so like settled in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, and then that's when you start getting the whole, well, no, this is the Lord's will, and this is, you know, and I'm like,
You still have to want to be in the same room together. That's an important piece.
So true.
Yeah. So and I think just encouraging people to have fun in the process, you can be intentional and still enjoy it. I think, you know, the tendency is when you're intentional, you get so serious so quickly that everybody's got their checklist of things they have to work through and hard questions to ask and deep conversations. And they're like, whoa, just enjoy the process and be together and enjoy getting to know one another. Mm-hmm. And that's
we just had John Thomas answer a question on that for the show. So that was good.
Hey, we've been with John Thomas since we left Focus out at the camp that he runs in Arkansas.
I know. Every time I was telling Martha, I said, how awesome would it be to like work at that kind of camp? Because every time we call, he's just like, you know, conference center, whatever.
See, you guys should you should go out there and do a show out. You should do a Boundless. Oh, we told him this. You should do a Boundless Singles event at that camp. It's a cool location.
Yeah, we tried to sell him on that. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, every time we talk to him, it always just sounds like he's chilling out. I'm always like, so what's on your schedule today?
And
it's always
like the go-karts.
It's always quote in between camps. And I'm just like,
No, camp directors work hard.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Martha has to represent.
He doesn't eat or sleep during the camps. But
yeah.
True. Especially when families are there or whatever. Kids.
We were out there last summer with Phil and Heather Joel and their kids, and it was so fun, and we kept telling John and Alfie, you guys should do a Boundless Singles Camp out here. It would be really fun.
Oh, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Singles camp.
Do they have indoor bathrooms?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. It's modern.
Good.
No, we have to do like a ropes course with trust falls so that you find out who your best mate is based on how you can do the zip line, if you can do it together or whatever. There's so many opportunities.
Go ahead and book it.
They have a sort of arcane zip line that they've rigged up.
Okay.
It's kind of I think it's attached to a telephone pole, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, you actually stop on the top.
That's good. See, that's character building, too. So, all right. So as we wrap up here, we know that you guys are big on goals, and you love to chart out goals and talk about them. And I'm looking at Candace, but really we're talking to Steve here.
That's right.
Steve, we know that you love goals. You love clearing the decks, as you've said in articles here at Boundless. And so what's coming up next? As you look at the next year, what do you guys
Yeah, actually, I ended up getting asked that for a publication here, and it forced me to jump on it early. And I said that I would focus on getting away with Candace this year for our 15th anniversary,
woo-hoo,
that I would prioritize investing in Zoe for her 10th birthday,
mm-hmm,
and that since Harrison will be turning 13 at the end of the year, we would spend the year, Candace and I, reading The Age of Opportunity, which is Paul David Tripp talking about embracing, yep, the teen years. And so that's been a real focal point for us. In addition to some goals I have here at the office, that has just changed everything as we make those family investments. And that's part of that sweet season God's giving us, preparing for a teenager. And
mm-hmm, that's true. With four kids, that's like every single year you're going to be hitting some kind,
exactly,
of milestone.
Right.
You have to start putting these on an Excel spreadsheet or something.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. That makes me tired thinking about it. So, well, it has been awesome talking to you guys. I'm so glad we were able to do it face-to-face, to be here in the studio, just like old times. Now with Martha in the mix, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a good mix.
Good times. I know. So, so privileged. I mean, it's just funny. Martha and I ate breakfast this morning here in the Founders Cafe here at the seminary, and you two really are our founders. And
oh,
so
that's cool.
It's our opportunity to come back and to just be blessed by you guys and just encouraged in all that you've done and poured into my life personally. And I know Martha, mm-hmm, too. You know, we've been, yep, in the boundless fray for a long time as consumers and now part of it full time. So,
well, and we appreciate you guys carrying the torch, yeah, carrying it well, and holding the word high and continuing to encourage people that often aren't getting great engagement from ministries or churches. And you know, boundless,
let's be honest, fielding some crazy comments on the blog that sometimes
things don't change.
Poor Martha, I think she has to, like, you know, find what, like, little encouraging things to do in the wake of that, you know, her little pick-me-ups after some time spent on the blog. But but we enjoy it because we love hearing from everyone, of course, and having them weigh in. So thank you guys so much for being part of this.
Thank you, Lisa. This is awesome.